Okay, we'll call the April 11th, 2024 Becker County Board of Adjustments meeting to order. My name is Mike Sharp, and I will be chairing tonight's meeting. To begin our meeting, I will ask those members to introduce themselves, starting on the left.
Larry Knudsen, member at large.
Dan Josephson, District 2.
Dale King, District 1.
Craig Hall, District 1. Cole Spleen, District 4.
Kyle Varberg, Becker County Planning and Zoning.
Nikki Bradbury, Becker County Planning and Zoning.
Okay, our first item of business tonight will be to review minutes from our November 9th meeting last year. I believe, Larry, you had a correction.
So minor.
Oh, yep.
Any other corrections? Otherwise, I'd entertain a motion to approve.
I'll move.
Second. Okay, a motion by Larry, second by, your name now.
Dan.
Sorry, Dan, I apologize. Any further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion is carried. You got any new old business? No old business? I guess we'll proceed to new business. Well, I missed my sheet. I think there's kind of another sheet, I think. That's kind of the vice chair. But I can go through. I guess I can summarize it here.
No, normally somebody will read that. That's just statute.
Okay.
That's the one we always have.
Okay, all right. I'll go through the there's a protocol on here. Protocol for this evening's meeting. Admin staff will introduce the application. The applicant or the representative will briefly introduce their request. I would ask that no one in the general audience no one in the general audience direct any comments to the applicant without going through this board. Sufficient time will be given to those who wish to speak. After all comments, the admin staff will read any written correspondence not in the packet. Then we will close testimony and the board will deliberate on the request. The Board of Adjustments duties are quasi-judicial in nature and twofold: to hear and decide requests for variances from the county's official controls, and also to hear and decide appeals and review administrative decisions related to the county's official control. All decisions of the Board of Adjustment in granting and denying shall be final, except that any person shall have the right to appeal any decision within 30 days to district court. Questions regarding the appeals process can be discussed with their administrative staff following the heat of hearing. At this time, I would request that Acting Vice Chair Mr. Hall allow the guidelines in the Minnesota statutes this board must follow in order to support or deny any variance. Please shut off any electronic devices at this time and we will continue.
Minnesota Statute 394.27, variances and practical difficulties. The Board of Adjustment shall have exclusive power to order the issuance of variances from the requirements of any official control, including restrictions placed on nonconformities. Variances shall only be permitted when they are in harmony with the general purposes and the intent of the official control, and when variances are consistent with the comprehensive plan. Variances may be granted when the applicant or the variance establishes that there are practical difficulties in complying with the official control. Practical difficulties, as used in connection with the granting of a variance, means that the property owner proposes to use the property in a reasonable manner not permitted by an official control. The plight of the landowner is due to circumstances unique to the property not created by the landowner, and the variance, if granted, will not alter the essential character of the locality. Economic considerations alone do not constitute practical difficulties. Practical difficulties include, but are not limited to, inadequate access to direct sunlight for solar systems. Variances shall be granted for earth shelters construction as defined in section 216C.06, subdivision 14, when in harmony with the official control. No variance may be granted that would allow any use that is not allowed in the zoning district in which the subject property is located. Board of Adjustment may impose conditions in the granting of the variances. A condition must be directly related to and must bear a rough proportionality to the impact created by the variance.
Great. Since we have no old business, we'll proceed for new business.
Mr. Chair, just for the essence of time, I'd like to move, I'm going to move you to the back.
Okay.
Okay.
If that's all right.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we'll start with the second applicant, which is Lila Sharon Trust, requesting variance to, let's see here, replace an existing detached structure with a gazebo, to construct a gazebo, and then to replace an existing dwelling with a dwelling and an attached garage.
Okay, at this time, is anybody here for this application? Please come forward. If there's a check to make sure there's a green light on that microphone, it's powered on. Okay, excellent. I guess if you can have a seat and then just introduce yourself and give us an overview of your proposal.
My name is Greg Sharon. Is this working?
There
it goes. Okay, now it's on. Greg Sharon, and we would like to fix the place up and make it nice.
And what are you looking to do here? I guess, you know.
Personally, for me, I would like to make it a place of, I like to give to people, and I want to use a place as like a sabbatical for pastors or the first responders, also for my family, also want to use the place, but I've already got some people lined up that would possibly want to use it for that kind of thing. I'd just like to be good to people. Fix a place up so it'll help raise the value of other people's property, because it is not, it's an eyesore. And my dad passed away about 20 years ago, and my mom shut everything down. She wouldn't let us kids do anything. I was very fortunate to talk her and let me shingle the roof on the cabin that's there. So that's where we're at right now, is she's passed away, and it's time to deal with it, move forward.
Any questions of the board of the applicants?
So would you be, you know, I've got the drawings, I think, and we saw kind of what you had marked out there. Obviously, the issue with the old, what do you want to call it, garage, house, whatever those out on the point, I think that's what most people are most concerned with on the piece. We all see the condition of it. In tearing that down, when we were there, I mean, that is obviously extremely low, and there's definitely concern over that. Would you be willing to maybe move that gazebo you're talking, maybe a little bit further, I'll say, towards the cabin, where it's a little bit higher piece of ground, where it wouldn't have to worry maybe so much about ice dam as part of your application?
And to it that we talked is not having to be a permanent footing also, you know, maybe like a gazebo, you can put it on skids, so if you had to move it due to the high water and or ice, you know, for some reason or something, or it could move itself. Because you can see visible damage on that building from ice.
Yeah, it's been there for many years.
Right.
It's taken a beating over the years.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, we just build something that close to the water and then have to do the same thing over again.
I think the idea was to minimize the footprint of the building so that it's 14 feet wide by 20, kind of move it back anyways. Now, I guess, I don't know.
It was pretty close. What we had kind of looked at, you've got a couple of, I almost call it like paddle boats or the other things that were kind of, as you move closer to the cabin, you know, it definitely all of a sudden kind of, you get that rise in elevation where it comes up, so you have a little more of a protection from the water. You know, that obviously is what is kind of ruining that right now, is the water.
Well, and then you have a little more about the runoff and everything else too.
Yeah.
Right now that roof's going to create heat and...
I have a contractor that he's got permission from the state of Minnesota to do his system that he drills 14 feet into the ground with his footings. He's pretty much guaranteed me that he can fix it to a point that the ice will not affect it.
It'll be off the ground.
It'll be off the ground, and his footings go 14 feet into the ground, and he can put multiple ones in. And then I got he lives around here, isn't he, Cody?
Yeah, Holly.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the DNR guy, the DNR guy,
Roger,
I believe his name is, said that we could build a permanent dock along with structure with the gazebo.
Okay.
Mr. Chair?
Yep.
So you're going to replace that cabin with another dwelling and a detached garage in that particular same spot? Is that what you're doing?
Not the cabin.
Not the trailer.
That's the trailer.
That's what the variance reads.
The trailer is the dwelling.
That's a dwelling?
That's what I understood.
So you're going to put a dwelling there? Because that's what it reads.
Right.
You're not going to do that? Just a garage?
Well, we want to replace the boathouse that's on the point.
Yeah.
Boathouse.
I get that part.
Yeah.
I'm talking about now that we'll go to the trailer house.
That's a dwelling.
Okay. So you're going to replace that with just a garage, or are you going to replace it with living quarters and a garage?
Yes.
Living quarters and a garage?
Yes.
Okay.
Just like the house that's right there that Tweet built. He built a, he's got a boathouse, a garage, and then he's got his living quarters above.
Okay. Just to the...
He's right there, yeah. He's right at my driveway.
Okay.
On that building that Larry was just inquiring about, so on your drawing where it says trees to be relocated, if we call that the closest side where you've got the 19 feet, it did look like to the driveway you could have roughly 6 feet that you would be able to move that towards the driveway and kind of get out of that real low area.
Okay.
Yep, that was.
I got 6-8 feet there to work with, so if you put it to the driveway,
that was a minimum measurement that I had come up with.
Okay. So you'd be okay with changing that from 19
that,
to
yeah, 25
foot offset then, because we're docking now?
Yeah.
Okay.
25, and then this one where it's 30, that would go to 25 too, roughly.
Right. Right on the other side.
Split, yeah, exactly.
And split it.
Now, I thought it was two dwellings on one property.
There's four parcels there.
Oh, that's right.
And then I guess one other quick question. What's the need for the second gazebo? I mean, you have the gazebo that'll
just
be out in the porch.
He's not supposed to hear this.
Okay.
I think my daughter's going to possibly get married this summer and or this fall, so kind of nice to have like a little wedding up there. She wants to get married at the lake cabin, so.
So there's a piece like where you have it right on the, you're asking like right on the, I'm not just gonna, I shouldn't say right on the lake, but real close to the lake, and there's that knob or that one oak tree,
mm-hmm.
You know, as you remove
yep.
it back,
yep.
I mean, is that something you would consider is taking that gazebo, so it doesn't have to be so close to the lake, because I mean, we're,
yeah, we can, yeah, we can.
You know what I mean, where that oak tree is?
Yep.
I'm talking,
yep.
I'm kind of looking at the lake or
yeah.
at the gazebo, and then there's that oak tree up here, and then at least gets it.
Further
away from the lake, which
yep.
keep trying to do that.
Well, yeah, and also, Greg, just be advised, if you want to do something there temporary for a wedding, that would be permissible.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah, if you're doing temporary, that's different.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, for the purpose of a wedding, if you need a platform right there, that would be fine.
I mean, is that more along the lines of what you're thinking? Is something temporary, like Kyle has mentioned?
The one on the hill. It's, it could be either or. Yeah, I mean, it'd be nice to have one up there for somebody to go up there just to watch the sunset, you know?
It'd be nice if you could do that at the bench.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we're willing to do it. We're
okay.
willing to work with you guys and do something.
Just for putting an awful lot onto that small little piece.
Yeah.
What we're trying to
mm-hmm.
minimize.
I don't want it to look gaudy where it's just like, you know, I want it to look nice and professional and
yeah.
raise the value of everybody else's property also. So it, another goal that's on my mind.
Well, I don't think you'll have any objection with getting rid of the trailer house and that cool building. Right.
We've had the place for 63 years, longer than I've been alive, so it's been in the family for a long time.
Yeah.
In fact, the maybe you guys know this, or maybe you don't, the cabin is actually the Crystal Ballroom from Fargo. My dad tore the Crystal Ballroom down, mm-hmm. brought all the wood down there and built the cabin. It's kind of a nostalgic little wood anyways.
So So circling back to that gazebo, is there a need for the second variance at this point? If, I mean, if you're gonna do something more temporary in nature?
Up on the hill?
Up on the hill? Is there a need for that second variance?
Just more of a want, you know, to make it look nice and.
What on the first gazebo, the one we talked about, the 14 by 20, is there any willingness to move it closer to the cabin and way out on that point where you've kind of got it drawn inside of the existing building?
We can move it. I know that it wasn't big enough to cut that tree down.
Probably the water.
Yeah, I don't recall. So
there's a guy there,
and they didn't want us eliminating that either. But are you familiar with that tree that's right in front of the building? That was part of keeping it so that you could actually not be walking into a tree, you know, walking into a tree right on the building. But if we have to eliminate that, if we can eliminate that tree and move it back and keep it centered on the property.
I'm sure you think eliminating a tree would be better off to move the property away from the
shoreline. I mean, you look at trade-offs. Everybody's got competing priorities, right?
And then land another tree.
Well, I mean, absolutely. But
I know the watershed people said they wanted to maybe put some coconut logs along there instead of riprap, and I was all for that. I don't know if you guys know what coconut logs are. You know, and I said absolutely 100%, and I would do that.
Whatever we got to do to retain that.
Retain that. Yeah. That front property. Yeah. It'd be a fun project to do.
Well, I think the general consensus that we heard that day when we were out there is if you could move it, I'm saying closer to the cabin, more toward it, toward higher ground,
okay.
It would be, I think, more palatable.
So how many feet are you willing to move it?
I don't have the line from me. Do we have a measurement from anything back?
No, it's just.
No, you have to paint it inside that building.
That was hard to figure out. I mean, we can move it. Or it's just on it for you.
Okay. Yeah, we can definitely come. Well, your tree is probably, this back tree, the tree that's on the point, the dead one.
Mm-hmm.
So it's probably 6 feet from the existing building, maybe 8. We could come back for sure 16 feet from that tree that's on the other side of the building. I don't know where that exactly puts us, but so long as we have 8 feet all the way around from OHW, would that be sufficient?
Well, it's gonna have to be because there ain't a whole lot of room either way. I mean, but it would be nice if we could get back on higher ground is kind of what we're
I see,
percent.
Okay.
I was putting it just from memory, 20 feet? Moving that whole thing.
That's kind of what I thought I had looked at.
When I stepped it off, I thought it was if you just took that whole structure and moved to the cabin 20 feet.
Okay, then we run into wetland issues then too.
What?
Because from where that tree, where that birch tree is, pretty much from the corner of that building to the birch tree and it circles back, there's a huge chunk there that's considered wetland.
See that?
That flagged it. It did flag the wetland.
Yeah.
Wow.
Do you know how far that was, Kyle?
I don't recall, but
not very far.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know it come up farther than you would, Kyle would think.
No, this was
last fall.
Oh, okay.
We met out there last fall. That was before the road went in.
Can we just say go right up to the wetland then? To the delineated wetland?
I'm saying 8 feet to both sides.
Yeah.
And both sides peninsula and plumb up to the wetland?
Yep.
Or delineated wetland?
Right.
Yeah. Because if you had it delineated, that knows where that is. We can reestablish that.
Right.
Put your building corner on that.
Right. That'd be all right.
Maybe I missed this, but what's the purpose of that gazebo?
They have a wife.
Pleasure.
It's like my son is a Marine. He already wants to have his Marine buddies down there and have a bachelor party.
Yeah.
I've already done stuff down there with his Marine buddies.
It's a tough sell to put an 8 feet from the lake.
Yeah. was, yeah.
That's the thing, what is it improving is where I'm going with it. I completely agree. If there wasn't a...
there wasn't a building there, we wouldn't allow it.
Yeah, this wouldn't even be a conversation in my brain. I mean, this is wild to even be having a discussion.
Right.
But it's...
but then you look at what you're improving for the whole thing. That's how I'm looking at it.
What's going to be the height?
I'm with you, Dan, but I'm just looking at it from that piece.
Have you ever seen a gazebo on Detroit Lakes? It's right on the lake. It's got the boathouse right underneath it.
The white one?
Gorgeous.
You're talking about?
Absolutely gorgeous. Right on the lake.
Denny?
Yeah, Denny Myers. Yeah. Well, we wouldn't permit that anyways. Today.
Question on the boardwalk. What's that makeup going to be?
Well, we were talking about that too. We could make it either boardwalk or even we could have just a
walkway on a ground class line. You know, just
river rock
river
or something.
Rock. Just a, it was, if we did that gazebo on the hill, it was just to be able to walk along the lakeside and fish off of it or whatever, and then be able to just have a clear walkway from that gazebo to the boat. The boathouse, the boat garage.
Is that something you guys are willing to negotiate to get rid of out of the deal? If we're saying that the deal on the top is just going to be a temporary or a bench to wax us?
I can discuss it with my family.
Okay.
Well, then you'd have to table it tonight.
Right. Yeah. Is that what you're looking to do? Table it till next month?
Well, I'd rather you guys just say, yeah, go ahead and do it.
Well, I think it'd be a far easier sell to the board if
there's a lot
to consider.
There's a lot going on here. I mean, my family just wants me to sell their place as is. So then it's another whole can of worms for somebody else coming in here buying a place. And so.
Hey, Greg, if I may,
mm-hmm.
You know, you could act on the first one and table the next one. Just, you guys can get going on removing that other building if that's...
Okay.
I mean,
if that would be an option for the board?
Something to consider.
Well, I want you guys to consider also, too, that we want to be able to replace the boathouse down here with this boathouse down here, because that's kind of our, you know...
Storage.
Because we've got our boats and stuff in there before now.
For me, though, looking at the whole parcel, I mean, I know there's separate parcels, and I get there's two things, but you gotta look at that. It's so small piece of land, you're not looking at it as,
right.
It might somewhat as a campus plan, let's call it. I don't know what you want to call it, the term for it. But.
Well, the road used to go on the bayside.
Mm-hmm.
That tree that was there,
yep.
Used to be a road. We used to drive on that road. My uncle used to park his camper on that side of that tree that's hanging over the bayside.
Mm-hmm.
So we have lost a lot of property.
Well, yeah.
And our property line is about 15 to 20 feet. The stake is out in the lake about 15 to 20 feet.
Yep. So I would say if we could get moved forward with the boathouse and this and tearing down this, you know, existing boathouse and building a new boathouse and table a gazebo on the boardwalk.
That's kind of what I'm looking at.
Just to get the ball rolling.
The boardwalk is
that's
the required area.
Yeah,
it's just... Right.
I mean, like,
and this gazebo on the hill, if that was made in such a way to be movable, would it need a variance?
Yeah. If I mean, like I said, no one is going to have an issue if you were to use a structure just for a weekend or something.
Mm-hmm.
But if you build a platform, but
mm-hmm.
It would have to be removed. That, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions of the applicants?
Do we have an answer?
Well, actually, we're not quite to that point now. I guess so. We'd ask anybody from the audience if there's anybody who would like to address the board on this application.
Yep.
So, okay, please come forward and introduce yourself.
Good afternoon or evening, I guess. I'm Jeff Moritz. I'm one of the managers from the Corn Lakes Watershed District, and this project is entirely within our district. and it is entirely within the shore impact zone, and of course that's our mission, is to protect the shore impact zone. I'm here as a manager. I have not been directed by our board, as we have not had time to meet to discuss this because of the delivery, because of the meeting time and those things. We haven't had time to put it on to have a meeting, and I suspect we will. So what I'm saying is basically on my behalf, with about 30 years of watershed experience. We worked on this project before last year, and I think helped the applicants. But my concern is the overlap between the county and the watershed district. It doesn't have to be that you make any type of decision. If you make a decision, we'll make a decision. And I'm afraid that the applicants could get stuck in the middle. It seems to me that the information that we have, we look at it from a watershed perspective, and the information that you have, you look at it from, you know, trying to complete your mission. As I look at this, I see there's just a series of little things that can make the difference. We don't know where the ordinary high water mark is yet. The state hasn't put their markers in, so I can't determine where that's at. We can bring a surveyor in, but is that on the county's nickel, on the watershed's nickel, or the applicant's nickel? Do we really have a good map of where things are going to go? From what I saw from the applicant's sketch, it was rather incomplete and didn't give me enough information of what they want to do. Also, if there's changes to what you might want on that, would our watershed board agree or disagree? So when I'm not here to argue the point, but I'm just offering a suggestion that maybe we put it on hold. We try and put a plan together so we don't have the applicant going back and forth and not getting what he wants, or not getting something that maybe it should be maybe I should state that different, something that the county doesn't want or that the watershed doesn't want. So questions that you might have with me.
Mr. Chair, what authority do you have here?
Threshold for permits, alterations to land, impervious surface, vegetation, the shore impact zone or bluff impact zone, or steep slopes in the shoreland zone. Additions that's A. These are thresholds for permit. B, additions to the impervious surface resulting in a total impervious surface, new or existing, more than 25% of lot area or 10,000 square feet of shoreland zone. Insulation, repair, replacement, the riprap, beach sand blanket, and shore impact zone, and operating of equipment for land alteration purpose in the shore impact zone. Those are the 10 items. Those are four that apply to that.
So Jeff, the only comment more than anybody. Yeah, I agree that the plan was fairly vague and distant. I mean, but we did see the stakes marked.
We did see
from what the proposal, that's something I would say that, we know where they want them. We kind of all feel saying here that they probably can't go there, but.
The problem that our approach is, we'd look at probably a LIDAR look and see what the elevation is. And then we'd also probably go back, and our engineer generally helps with that. We go back and pull the drawing up and make a bigger drawing of an aerial field or of a survey that they might have, depending what's available. And then based on that, we would try to reference where things are going to go. So there's a monument, something that's not going to get moved is going to be placed. And then obviously prior to that, we have an opportunity to think, get input from our engineer on recommendations. I think there's too much going into it. I think some things definitely need to go. We need to take that building that's on the corner on the south edge that's been abandoned. That is an eyesore that the neighborhood are very unhappy with it. It just needs to go. We need to restore that shore area there, revegetate it. And then if they do wish to move and put a new gazebo in, there's a better spot for that than right on the point there. That point has seen ice action. So if something goes in there, the hope would be that it could be moved, or at least we wouldn't have the same impact that we would have with the building that is just, that has been abandoned. One of our managers, who ice fished a lot, has pointed out that he has seen ice up to that building. So makes little sense from my perspective, from our watershed's perspective, I believe, to put that anything exactly where it was. It should be moved back, it should be moved high, and it should be behind us so that once we, when we get back into the wet conditions, that's not affected by high water levels. It's so easy to look at these things now when the lakes are low. We're down approximately, rough guess, a foot below the OHW, probably more than that. And we look at where the water level is. We need to understand that that's not really representative of what we want to do. We want to make sure we're high and dry, not only for the applicant, but for, you know, for the watershed, so we don't have to deal with those things too. So,
Mr. Chair, Jeff, you know, when we were out there around that old trailer house, it almost looks like a dike was built. Is that from ice push up, or do you think that was?
It sure could be. It's pretty soft soil in there. You know, there's a,
it doesn't make sense to me. Ice push up because it was on, let's call it, the back of the trailer.
Too low. I know.
So it almost, like, to me, it does look like a dike. Yeah. Well, something was a long time ago. There's some pretty big trees in there.
Yeah. That's what I have to present to you guys.
Yeah. Any other questions? Okay. Anyone else in the audience would like to speak to this application? Okay. Otherwise, we will close testimony and the board will deliberate.
Could I ask the applicant?
Yeah, absolutely.
So there's no trouble with the watershed. You think you might want to table your whole application and work with the watershed before you come back here? Just sure, asking the question.
So the applicant wishes to table the application until such time they can coordinate things with the watershed district then?
Sure.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you.
Jeff, will you just exchange contact with him?
Sure.
Okay, that second applicant, Dana and Rita Tomlinson, requesting a variance to replace an existing home with a dwelling and attached garage to be located 35 feet from the ordinary high water mark due to setback issues.
Good evening, I'm Dana Tomlinson. I'm here representing my wife and I, requesting the variance of a non-conforming structure, basically an old cabin that we reside next door. We purchased the lot with a little red cabin on it. It's a 1 acre plus lot, 50,000 square feet, more than 100 feet on the lake shore. But this cabin, well, the fact that a private road runs through there, it makes it a little bit tighter building spot. So first off, we'd like to clean up this cabin and just remove it. I mean, it's the floors are rotting and it's in rough shape. And we're requesting to just remove that cabin and be able to come back and build a conforming structure and be out of the shore impact zone, 37.5 feet. Engage an architect and landscape architect to control our water mitigation and rain garden, so on and so forth, for a future structure. But I want to basically here to try to protect our investment. So in the future, it's buildable. And I guess that's basically it.
Okay. Any other questions from the applicant?
Okay.
So the variance right now is just to be able to do something in the future, or is this
correct? I would like to be able to, you can see the allowable square footage. Right now the cabin is at 35 feet in and pulled back, so we're out of the short impact zone. There are a few dead trees and stuff on the lot. I'd like to take those down and then take the cabin down too, and basically just clean it up right now. Clean it up and seed it, but be able to build. Could be in the near future, or it could be 5 or 10 years down the road.
So that if you're looking at the lake, that right front corner of the house, the way you had it staked, we talked about, let's try to get it out of the shore. In fact, the one you were willing to, which you just said, that right front corner still, it doesn't seem like it would be be 37 and a half. I mean, so what you're asking is the whole structure would be out of the shore impact zone regardless.
That is correct.
What I think John's back in, yeah, your place.
We have the survey, and then when we draw the plan, I mean, we would make sure that we would meet that.
Whatever you had to do, jog the building or angle it or whatever that is?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Any other questions?
I have to make a comment.
Okay.
You know, if that road was a public road, it's a private easement road, but a public road, if it was, you'd be asking for 60% impervious surface on that lot.
Sure.
But just because of the technicality that it isn't a public road, and you're using that usable space on the other side, which no water is ever going to run to.
Way up high.
Up high.
Yeah.
I just can't support that. The 60% impervious surface on that totally stamped. And I know there's a lot of water.
Anyone from the audience, go ahead.
I respect where you're coming from. You know, when you think about how that's taxed, you know, the property values, that $750,000,
I get it.
$5,000 of your taxes, and they're going, we can't build at the lake. I mean, that really kind of doesn't make any sense.
Well, you can build. It's a 66.
You can build. Well, you can. They're saying that we have to build up on a bluff.
No, I don't think that Larry's not saying that. He's saying that if you build a smaller footprint, which would reduce your impervious.
Sure.
Because what's our can right now? You allow impervious for 25.
Yeah, I just asked for the legal setbacks. You know, the 37.5 feet, 10 foot on the set, or, you know, on the sideline setbacks, and then, you know, basically up to the private. There's a 20 foot utility easement on that road that we maintain, and we. Pay, you know, we paved that, and we take care of it, and we pay for plowing, and
well, on paper, you're all good. The only thing that I can hang my hat on by opposing it is that you're not meeting the setback of the lake. You're not meeting the 75-foot setback. That's the only thing I can hang my hat on to oppose it.
Sure.
But it's only because of technicality, because the road is a bituminous road. Water's not going to flow over the road and back up on top of the hill. And that's what we're talking about here, runoff.
Yeah.
Protecting the lake. Just my point, guys, I had to make it.
No, I think it's a
wild. And we would protect the lake. Again, we would go through all the proper channels. We're no strangers to building rain gardens, you know, gutters and working with Terra and the watershed. I don't want to. That is our best resource. I mean, we pay huge taxes to live on the lake.
And I don't want to
protect it.
I know that.
And I really want to protect it. But, you know, again, yeah, I'm trying to look at an investment that we have and go, gosh, you know, if you had to build up on top there, this thing would be worth less than half of what we paid for it. So I'm just trying to protect our investment and stay within the rules.
So for the board's consideration, I mean, your 6,600 square foot figure, is there any negotiation or room for negotiation there in your mind, or is that the figure?
Mr. Chair, what I heard from Warren was he's just asked right now, he's just asked for setbacks, 10 foot and 37 and a half. He wants to tackle the impervious, it would be later, right?
That's kind of what I heard. Within the impervious.
Yeah, because the impervious is.
Count that bluff area.
Yeah,
true.
That isn't a public road.
Right.
Well, yeah, the allowable would be 12,525 square feet of pervious, which we obviously wouldn't. And I'm not about coming in and paving everything and utilizing all that. But because we have 50,100 square feet. I have Meadowland crank a number on that. So.
Well, the part of the other thing is there's value to the structure there. So before he tore it down, I wanted him to be before you because he can replace that, repair it.
Yep.
So
and make it,
and that's why we're here. You know,
sure.
No, but that's why we're here because I didn't want to see him take that down, and then he has a plane chip right now, right?
I've been paying electric. I mean, we left it hooked up, and we've been paying electric bills and so on and so forth. And I just look at it and I go, I got a swing set over there in grandkids playing, and we got badgers and skunks underneath that thing, and I'd like to clean it up, but property to be sure that I can build a build on it in the future.
That was one of the questions I had, is what, you know, you're a planner, you design things and you make things look really nice, and coming to, you know, get the answer of, before we take something of value out and not know what to replace it with something, mm-hmm. you know, that looks like a Tomlinson building or a Tomlinson home, is kind of where it's kind of fuzzy in my head on why we're at a post-it note on a piece of plant versus something.
Versus a full-blown.
Right.
Well, anyone knows any Tomlinson project is utilizing every foot and every percentage. And I'm not saying that in a bad way, but that's how it works.
Well, he took it down.
Well, he...
No, I...
But when Dana comes in, I mean, look at the homes you're building. They're not $500,000 homes, and they're $10 million homes.
We have to stay within the rules. We have
right,
to play by the rules.
When you, like, when you reference a $750,000 lot and that investment, you're trying to utilize it also, right?
Absolutely.
So that's why he's...
Absolutely.
He's not looking for a thousand.
Get it.
And Dan, to answer your question, why didn't I go to Tony or whoever, cost? You know, I'm just going, this is very simple. You just got the math, and I didn't want to spend another $5,000. You know, we're going to pay taxes.
Right.
Any other questions for the applicant? Otherwise, we'll move on to any testimony from the public. Okay, hearing none, we'll close testimony.
There was that one comment from Pelican River Water.
That's correct.
Just wanted to reference,
yeah.
Which we talked about moving back to 37 and a half. So.
Yeah. Okay, we'll close testimony and we'll deliberate. What are the board's wishes?
Well, I think we all saw the condition of the existing one. Definitely understand what Larry's saying. Same time, I think what he's asking, with moving it back to 37.5, he's getting out of the shore impact zone, which we asked him to do. It kind of fits the locality in the area. It's kind of what the rest of them have. Now they've got a building back up top. He was already talking about doing the septic, pumping it up top. I don't know.
I'm with Craig here all over. They're everywhere. It's like Tom Folds. Like Tom Folds on Buffalo Lake, that we just switch the doors and we can build up on the bluff too. And but somehow in 84 they put them 15 feet off the lake.
It's like, we're gonna continue to have these old cabins around the county that get torn down, and they're gonna build bigger ones. Just the way it is.
Against the ordinance. So that doesn't happen anymore.
A lot of them, like, look on Cotton Lake, look what we've had to do there. Because the way the road is, there's just there's only so much room.
Any other comments? Otherwise, I'd entertain a motion.
I guess I can appreciate the coming in and asking for hypotheticals. I guess it's a little bit difficult to support a kind of a plan that is partially there and just taking, getting just outside the short impact zone in a design phase of a proposal, I guess.
So the only thing he's really asking for is 75 foot, right? That's the only thing. He meets everything else.
He does.
That's correct.
What I would say is, this is fairly common on the board that we, if you're outside the shore impact zone, look at it and see what we can do.
I mean, it's like, I see what he's trying to do. I see what that road, if that road wasn't there, there'd be no way we should move it back. But with the road, I see what he's asking for. I think it's only going to improve it long term. Whatever they do, just have to move forward. And I know he's asking for direction. I definitely understand what Dan is saying, but with nothing planned to be rebuilt there right now, I understand why he's asking for the rezoning. I would make a motion we approve.
Okay.
I'll second.
We got a motion by Craig, second by Cole. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion is carried. It's granted.
Thank you.
Oh, and I'm going to abstain for the next one because I say I'm applying.
For the record. So, the last applicant, Hall Family, requesting a variance to construct a dwelling with an attached garage and deck and patio to be located 40 feet from the ordinary height, deviating from the required 100 due to setback issues.
Hey everyone, well, I think you've seen this because we looked at it before. We tried to put in a application last year, which you guys did approve, which I appreciate, but it has been stuck in litigation. So I went forward, spent a little more money than what I wanted to do, but had the whole piece surveyed with elevations, and then I had the architect company work right with Compass Surveying to go ahead and try and move and lay it out, change the design. Original plan was to try and keep it all one level. Our plan was to make it a retirement home and to live there year round. So we really wanted to try and have a two-car garage. The goal was to get the main things on one floor. So when we did the redesign, that's kind of what we looked to do, was to make it so that we could have master bedroom, obviously your laundry, your a little bit of a mud room, kitchen, dining room area. And we asked to have a smaller bedroom for grandchildren on the same floor. And then we originally had the mechanical room there as well and some storage. Well, that's when we got started getting into issues. So we said, okay, make it even smaller yet, and we'll put a basement. Maybe we'll finish it in the future or not, but at least that way we can get the mechanical room. We can get a third bedroom for kids in the future to come back and see us. And as you're looking at this, you kind of see what I had Compass do is they went back and they actually put the old 1974 ordinary high watermark line on there. And you can see what it has changed. When they change it from 1610 to 1613.4, when they reset that, I believe it was in 2018, that's when you can see how much ground was lost. Before that would have happened, this would have been easy to accomplish, but with the reset of the ordinary high, and definitely, I know the rules, I was trying to figure out a way to make it so that we could hit 50 feet all the way around, and there's really no way. Unless you make it so small that it would be, again, kind of like what you've seen and what I sent in several of the pictures around the lake, just itty-bitty tiny cannons. And unless we tried to make it so that the setback from the different areas was the most, my original plan was to hug that area that is close to the lowland, and that is because you can see that is where the highest elevation is, so we've got it furthest away from the lake, but we kind of just made the consensus to try and keep as much of the house 50 feet from the new ordinary high. And there's a couple areas, and you can see the funny design of this. We're trying to accommodate the concerns that the people who voiced opposition last time had, and just trying to do the best we can to do that.
Originally, you were trying to design it kind of around some trees and different stuff.
So we were
now you're trying to meet with the what was brought forward last time. You're trying to address some of those concerns.
That's exactly what it was.
Now you're not going to save trees. You're going to be able to cut those down.
Right.
With the house.
Like when I met with Ed Clem, which was soil and water,
mm-hmm.
And like he said, I see what you're doing. And he said, to me, this is the exact reason why a variance is there to be had. Because I was trying to save all of the big mature trees that were on the property. Whereas if you look now, you see that one circle that's drawn in there.
I was looking at it, that's a tree, right?
That's the big white pine that we've really been trying to save. But with the way that the ordinary high is at now, Cole, and trying to get away from the 30 feet, which is where what I asked for before, I just can't do it. There's no way without meeting that. That's why I got shifted further to the north. And still, you see all those funny edges and stuff on the one side. It's all because of the way that it jogs back in. Before that, you know, would have happened where the ordinary high would have been in 1974. It was easy. And that's why you see some of the other cabins around the lake that are all within that 16 to 25, 30 feet. And those were measurements I took this winter, actually from where the water is now. When you go to where the ordinary high is, which is about probably 5 to 10 feet, depending upon the elevation difference, those all get smaller as well. But I understand what happened. I mean, it is what it is. And I'm not asking gentlemen here today, you know, I'm going to clearly state this. I'm not asking for any special treatment. Yes, I'm a part of this board. I see what we do at others. I want you guys to evaluate and say, am I asking for something unreasonable? Am I asking for something that doesn't meet the area? Then I'm asking to vote no. If you think that I am, then I'm asking obviously for you to vote yes and approve it.
Well, it is a lot of record. You apply the standard setbacks, there's no buildable area. Any lot of record is technically a buildable lot, so then it is deciding what is reasonable. That's the question. The lot requires a variance.
So comparing your previous application to this one, the pros for this application, looks like there'll be a decrease in impervious coverage. Setbacks are increased, but I guess the drawbacks would be
one
more vegetation.
One more positive though. He did go away from a regular septic system to a holding tank. That's another positive.
Yeah.
There were a lot of concerns with that septic, but even though they had it designed by someone that said it would work,
the current,
right? That's a minor break, right?
Correct.
So you're to go to a holding tank.
Right. The current holding tank is 51 feet from the ordinary high. The proposed holding tank is 55 feet.
Yeah, because there is one on the property now.
Right.
It would be an increase.
That tree there, right?
Right. Yeah.
So I guess...
And that one can still be utilized. There's nothing to say that, I mean, it would require compliance, but it could remain too, but he's proposing to move it.
I just want to point that out.
Yep.
You can talk about the problems on with that.
I guess a little bit of the drawbacks would be more vegetation would be removed, and the structure, more of the structure is going to be in the shore impact zone, whereas the previous application, you were shifted to one side, which then... A majority of the structure would have been outside of the shore impact zone except that side. When I was out there and I seen where you had it staked out, is there any way to save additional vegetation in your mind? I think that, again, the impervious coverage is slightly less. But
the biggest thing, Mike, would be, and you know, again, I appreciate you going out there looking at it. The easiest way would be to shift it back again to the south. But that's when I run into the issue with the 30 feet.
I'd be decreasing it from...
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I'm willing, you know, when I had talked to several of the people in the lake, that was my original goal, was to try and keep as many of the trees around it, so we kind of hide it in there, per se. And ideally, I'd like to, you know, plant some more pine trees as our goal versus the brush that was there that I had to get rid of. We wanted the brush gone, we'd like to plant more pine trees, and I'll do that either way. Yeah, I mean, the whole goal was to keep as many of the trees that are there now so that ideally you wouldn't really get that much of a view of the cabinet or the house, per se, if you will, from the lake. But there's only so much you can do. I mean, you get that.
The nice thing where they map that, you know, the new ordinary high, but you just know that whole land to the south.
Sure.
It's almost like a holding pond now that, I mean, you know, in theory, people would design things like that to retain water before settle out and flow into the lake.
Yeah, and
that was one thing I noticed on the site.
Yeah, and when they were there and they surveyed it, you know, it goes, it's kind of like a half moon that comes around all the way out there. The majority of that is actually above, but being there's one spot that's about 10, 12 feet wide, where it's probably got 2 to 6 inches of water, depending upon the time period that goes through it, then that's technically not ordinary high. Or you can't count that.
Right. That's a kind of a water
right. Actually. But yeah, you're exactly right. That's a perfect holding area.
Right. I mean, in a design world, it would be not such a bad thing.
Right.
But.
Well, and I met with the DNR today about, you know, when they established this ordinary high, the area hydraulics now, Roger Hemphill, anyone of you are welcome to call him. He's not willing to change ordinary high on bad medicine for this fact, because it would make a pile of non-conforming lots and a pile of non-conforming structures. They should have did this on bad medicine as well. They never addressed that ordinary high. In parts of that lake, it could be 40-some feet out there.
There'd be a lot of unbuildable lots in parts of that.
And a lot of non-conforming structures.
And you're going to see that, you know, whether this goes forward or not, over the next 20 or 30 years, you take a look at a lot of those photos that I took of some of those older cabins. Those same, whether those people or somebody who buys them or their kids are going to be right back here, because they're going to be addressing the exact same issue. They're going to want to rebuild on those, and we have to deal with it, because when they reset that, it changed everything. And you guys saw how many of those big trees that were out there, quote unquote, in the lake, you know. That was my question to him. The trees really grow this big around ordinarily out in the lake.
Any other comments or questions? Questions for the applicant? Okay, hearing none. We'll move on to public testimony. Anybody from the public? Yeah, I'd like to testify. Come forward and please state your name.
My name is Heath Jakes. We have the cabin right next to this property. My in-laws had bought two properties up there when they first bought the cabin back in the 80s. They were going to buy the peninsula, but they said everyone told them it was unbuildable and the price was too high. I'm guessing about 15 years ago, someone got permission to put a trailer or camper out there, and they wouldn't allow them to put a sewer out there, so they used a biffy. They put a biffy out there and had it pumped all the time. Now, the water gets high around there. The lake has got a natural beaver dam to it. The lake will get so high that the peninsula becomes an island at some times. So the water's really high. Now, I want to say 2 years ago, our drainage field for our septic was plugged. So I had Thielen's excavation come out. They pumped the tank, they inspected our tank. Our sewer tank was fine. But so we put an additional holding tank on, and I wanted to go towards the lake with it some more, but they said it was too close to the lake, so we had to back it off. And we're a lot further from the lake than what he's proposing here. So I'm more worried about the, you know, pollution in the lake and what's gonna happen to the waterfall, the loons and all that we got around there. That's why we got the cabin there, is for the nature and the wildlife. Don't want it destroyed.
Just a question. You know that there is a septic system on the point already?
Yeah, I do. I was told that. I don't know who put it there or how it got there, but I do know the people that had the trailer house, they used the biffy to use the toiletries.
Might have been their choice.
Well, it was permanent. I have the permit.
So I mean, okay. They just told them not to tie into it.
Well, I don't know about that. I know I talked to them. That's how they told me they used the bathroom there. So
septic system was permanent in 1992.
Is that particular?
Yep.
Yeah. Jerry.
So I don't keep track of the dates, and I don't keep track of all the permits through here. I'm just saying.
Just
telling you what I knew about it.
It wasn't snuck in there or anything like that. It was permitted by this county.
No, I never said it was snuck in. I just know they used it because I talked to them when they were out there on some weekends. And the water does get high because there's a natural beaver dam there. So the lake does come up, and the cabins down in the lower part, they got to sand up all the time to keep the water out.
And there was a building permit also granted in 92 for a structure 28 by 28. The total area is 784 square feet.
granted to Paul Schiller by Floyd Spendy.
So they just didn't go through with it?
Must not have, but it was granted.
Okay, well, all I know is they had a trailer out there, a camper, whatever it was. We bet Peter built the cabin in 87. So.
Anything else?
Nope, that does it for me.
Thank you.
Kyle, was that system a steel tank at that time, a holding tank, or was it a tank?
Let's see here. Septic tank and drain field, standard system. That's what it was permitted. I don't believe there is a drain field there. It's depicted on this map, but.
The map shows a drain field.
Yeah.
I think it's going towards kind of where I was planning to build.
But for some odd reason, there's an alarm on that tank, and if it was gravity fed, you normally wouldn't have an alarm. So I'm thinking that it's just a holding tank.
Okay. Anyone else in the public?
Yeah.
Thank you very much. My name is Tom Henning. My mother owns the island, the parcel just to the west of this peninsula, and she's asked that I provide some comments on her behalf. And first of all, my first comment is, I don't think you've provided it. We've had enough time to actually review this. This is a pretty detailed plan, and I'm not even sure that the board had enough time to review all the comments that came in. I think there were some other ones that have been sent in besides this.
Mr. Chair, just for the record, the statute is 10 days for notification.
Thank you. I also think that the application is incomplete. There's a couple things that I would have expected to see on this. When this proposal came forward in August, we were told that the building would be raised up a few feet, and that would provide more, just slope that away, you would probably have more impact on the shore impact zone. And I don't see that on the drawing. Also, there's no road on the application, and if there was a concrete apron in front of the garage, or if there's a paved road, that would contribute to the impervious area. So I'm not sure that you can make a decision that it meets the impervious area requirement. I'd like to impress upon the board how large this home is. It gives great detail on the application how big it is. And the footprint's 4,000 square feet. Finished area, 6,200 feet. And I think when you compare, you want to compare something that's big or not, you need to compare it with something. So the applicant actually has a cabin just a couple lots north of this, and I went on the GIS website, saw how big that was. It's about 816 square feet footprint. Well, the proposed footprint of the building is about 4,000 square feet. It's almost five times bigger. That the existing home, the applicant's existing home, would almost fit in the garage. The garage is about 770 feet. It also would fit the deck, and the porch area is much bigger than that existing home. Taking a look at the GIS map, I couldn't find a larger home on the lake. And I want to impress on you on how large this is. All of this on a lot that's so small that no home would meet the setback. You know what? I heard the earlier discussions on some of the other applicants, and I really appreciated the board's concern about protecting the shore impact zone. And this home encroaches on it significantly. It's 40 feet. He'd need to be back 10 more feet, given the area of it. It's a fair amount. And I just didn't see anything in the application that justified him being in it at all. It's a very large home. He could pull it back further and be completely out of that. If he had to raise it up, he could pull it back far enough so that even the additional soil that would be needed to raise his property would not be in that area. I just don't see that's necessary in this situation. I noticed he had French drains on the application. I don't know why he did that. I assume it's to impress upon the board that he was going to treat stormwater somehow. And I'd just like to tell you that French drains don't do that. French drains are just a conduit to move the water more quickly. French drains go deep, it moves that pollution more quickly to the groundwater. If it's a trench to the lake, all it does is move that water, that pollution more quickly to the lake. So I don't think the board should consider, I don't know if you were going to have that conversation.
I have a question on that. So do French drain reduce heat pollution to the lake?
Heat pollution?
Because heat pollution is almost your number one polluter to a lake, is getting heat to the water to create vegetation and all, and basically create a dynamic in that lake that we don't want. So that's part of the goal of French drain, is to cool.
Cool. So you think a French drain slows the water down?
You have to cool it, so it's going to go through ground that's 40, 50 degrees.
Yeah, the problem with that, though, is without the French drain, the water goes over the surface. The grass and the vegetation slow it down. It goes into the ground, and the ground is an opportunity to clean that pollution. There's microbes in the soil that, I mean, I'm not telling you anything you don't know. The better way to do it is let the ground clean the water in the French drain. The French drains move the water more quickly.
We're going to have to talk with our watersheds because they suggest them all the time. Becker County Soil and Water, I mean, they have a fact sheet advising the public to do that. I mean, I have it right upstairs. I mean, how often do we use them?
Oh,
time,
yeah.
You really?
Yeah. Every meeting?
That's what they'll do.
That's the first I've heard of that.
That's what we're being advised, honestly. The Becker County Soil and Water sizes them. They advise all the citizens of Becker County to use them.
I appreciate that. I read a brochure from MPCA that said use of French drains often need permits because it's a part of a. But anyway, I read something from MPCA that said contrary to that. This is a minor point. I'm not going to belabor the point. We talked a little bit about floodplain issues. In the last meeting in August, it was talked about an outlet to the north. While that's true, the elevation of that outlet, I think, is pretty high. I looked at some public available topo information. It's about 1630, which is about 10 feet higher than the elevation of the peninsula. So it's really not a reasonable consideration that the water can go to the north. And we've talked about how this lake really doesn't have an outlet. It's susceptible for the lake water to come up. And because this is on a peninsula, the water approaches the home on three sides. So it consumes that setback very quickly as the water comes up. There was a part of the application, there was a question that says, will the variance maintain essential character of the locality? And I think to justify this, the applicant provided 9 examples of cabins up. And a couple of comments on that. One, I wasn't aware that's how the county did it. I thought the county looked at the neighbors, the parcels to the north, the parcels to the south. The parcel to the south meets 100-foot setback. The one to the, one to the north is 85 feet, one to the south is 100 feet. And it seems it would be more reasonable to compare that home with those that are close to it. I looked up the location of each of those 9, and the closest one is 0.4 miles away. Others are even further. They were all built in, at least 50 years ago, and they're much smaller than the proposed structure. It just doesn't seem reasonable that the board or the county would take the position that one would compare a home or determine if it meets essential characteristic if there's some other home located anywhere on the lake. I think that would cause a problem because there's a lot of lakes in the county that have such homes. I honestly don't think the applicant has demonstrated a hardship. And as you know, the applicant needs to have a hardship in order for the board to grant a variance. I suspect that the applicant knew the condition of this parcel before he bought it. Certainly well aware of the rules, and he knew that nothing would meet the 100-foot setback. And yet he bought it anyway. And I think that doesn't cause a hardship. I think that's a business risk that he took. And I don't think they're the same. I further will point out that this parcel was not sold alone. This parcel was sold with another one that's on the mainland. And the purpose of that was to give it an area to build a cabin. There's plenty of space on that parcel for a cabin. He would meet all the setbacks. He wouldn't even need a variance. Plenty of space on that parcel It's figured that there's a picture, figure two, in my application where I show the locations of those. I'll also point out, I know you know this, but if you're to grant a variance, you need to grant a minimum variance. And I don't think this structure meets that criteria. As you said, there was a previously permitted home on this house, on this parcel, 28 by 28 feet square. I mean, this house is many, many times larger than that. I guess I'll leave it at that. I think my main points are, I just think that there's no reason to be in the short impact zone. That's really protected property, really important to keep the lakes clean. I appreciate the board's being strict with that regulation. I think the house could be pulled out of that. And I also don't think that the proposed house size is much larger than what it recently needs to be. I'm not opposed to a home there. This is much too large.
I just want to make a statement. You know, the two parcel thing, we have to look at this parcel on its own merits. We can't take into effect the back lot and the other lot, because every lot needs to be buildable if it's considered a lot.
Well, and it could be sold at any time.
So it could be sold. So we can't take that into our decision. That is not part of the discussion or any of that, because that lot is another lot.
Well, you could buy 10 lots.
Yeah, you could buy 100 lots. And that's not the point of this.
Thank you.
Anyone else in the public testify? Okay. With that, written testimony is submitted. I think everybody received a copy of those comment letters.
Which will be submitted to the record.
Okay.
Some of them anonymous, the others named. I also just want to point out one thing for your consideration when you are considering this. The term locality, by dictionary definition, is a neighborhood. A neighborhood is a district or an area surrounding a particular place or object. Particular place meaning Dugway Lake. When you're deciding locality, it's not adjacent, it's a neighborhood.
Okay, with that, we'll close testimony and the board will deliberate.
I would also advise you whatever decision you do make, just because of the past litigation and we are aware of that, I would request that we set a special meeting for staff and council and or council to draft findings consistent with your decision.
That would be part of the motion if we decide.
Right, so that you will not be addressing those questions if you know, whether you deny or approve. We'll take the record and we'll provide that to council and they will draft the findings for that record.
Okay.
I will do it.
Huh?
I will say it.
Improvements, so some fairly large improvements, you know, separate question, somewhat of a setback question. First, I think the other location was better for the locality, but
I agree with that.
Because of the vegetation, but the people felt that that wasn't what they wanted, so Craig went back to address their concerns. I don't know how to rephrase that, but it's kind of a bummer.
And that's where I'm at exactly.
it's a bummer deal. Because it would have been hidden in there a lot more. But that's not for us to, I mean, it's to discuss, but not, you know, we have the application in front of us.
Well, I do have a question. So, if he prevailed, or Becker County prevailed in litigation, what's the application?
I don't know. I mean,
legal question, I guess. I mean, if he, I guess if he, if Becker County prevails, he's going to be permitted at 30 as well.
Right.
In reviewing state statute, there's, as far as what I could tell, there's nothing that prevents the applicant from requesting another variance, even though another variance is.
You can ask to appeal. You can ask every month.
Okay.
And actually, the applicant could, with speaking with the county attorney on other litigation with application, there's nothing prohibiting him from building. Actually, that would be obviously serious risk. But we have a feedlot being appealed right now in northwestern Becker County. The applicant asked, county attorney provided, saying there's nothing stopping him. You have a conditional use permit. It's granted until proven not to be. But obviously, no one's going to proceed with that until you have an answer.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That's really interesting because I'm not going to say what I'm going to say.
Well, I understand that, but doing so, you're taking a huge risk.
Well, yeah, but you could go to level all the trees. You know what I mean? And then, what that's not much investment. Get a cap $3. You can have that thing, fixed. That's not a big, you know what I'm saying? It's kind of a weird loophole. Wow.
Yeah, I don't know who would do it because it's a huge risk, but that's what we've been advised.
Your thoughts?
I guess, same as last summer, I understand it's a lot of record and needs to be has to have an allowable structure on it. Is this the structure that's reasonable? I don't see this as a reasonable structure for this piece of property. And I don't think it fits in the neighborhood.
Okay.
Well, I don't cover it out the definition and stuff, but when it comes to what's reasonable, that's in the eyes of the beholder. I really struggle with reasonable. Go to any one of these lakes, this house ain't nothing. I mean, seriously, go to Floyd Lake, that thing used to have every little cabin on it, and now they're.
Well, we just granted one 6,600 feet.
Right, we just granted, that's what I was just going to state. We just granted it. Well, this board just did it 6,600 square feet, 10 foot setbacks, and 37 and a half feet. This is less than that.
You are a group, sorry.
What's that?
Tonight you are one, not.
But that's where I'm at, I mean, really.
You gotta have fun too, guys.
Right.
No, guys, it's tough. Doesn't all need to be tents.
So, what is the definition of reasonable?
I'll tell you. Of a person that's having sound judgment. The other is as much as is appropriate or fair, moderate. So what's fair?
It's moderate.
Yeah.
Well, we use the previously granted building permit of 28x28 as being appropriate. Is a basis for this property, and that's significantly smaller than what this is being proposed.
What too, what's the use, right? I mean, that old gentleman talked about cabin, so this is the intent of this isn't a cabin, right?
That's 100% true. The intent is that it's not going to be a cabin, and
I look at that. I mean, I'm not shoving my family in a Cracker Jack box.
I know we have to weigh these as an individual piece, right. But every time we look at these, we look at the neighborhood and does it fit within the neighborhood, and we push that square footage up, and now we are putting ourselves in that situation of making those footprints larger and larger and giving variances, and if the variance should be granted, then maybe we should change the ordinance. Larry's point, if we're always granting variances, there's something wrong with the rules.
Well, I will say we'll never change a rule to accommodate this lot because there's no buildable area.
Right.
And we can't reduce the setbacks less than what they are right now because we cannot be more or less restrictive than the state. That was just my point earlier. This lot requires variance.
Correct, but this structure wouldn't meet the 1974 setbacks.
I think it
would.
Yeah, what easily would. I would move it further back.
If that ordinary high was still there, where it was, there wouldn't be a variance here.
Don't you need to be 100 feet?
Have you been up there and saw it to the south?
It says 94 feet right here.
Well, yeah, maybe I get 6 feet then, but to the south there is a lot of room. If the ordinary high was real, it would be well.
Right.
Yeah.
A lot of room to the south.
But, we can't change a rule to accommodate this lot. Can't happen.
If there are no further comments, like I said, entertain a motion from the board, one way or the other.
Given the application you got, I mean, it's gotten better. I mean, if I don't need to address some concerns that they had before, right? I guess I'll make a motion that we approve.
Yeah. Motion by Cole.
I'll second it.
Second by Dell. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed?
Aye.
And as chair, I vote aye. Motion is approved, variance is granted.
So just to confirm that motion though, we'll establish the date at our board tour, which is May 2nd, of when that special meeting will be. May 12th. That only would give I and an attorney 2 weeks to draft those findings, and I'm not going to get on an agenda that fast, I'm sure, of one's planning schedule. So the motion should be to have staff or direct staff and council to draft findings consistent with an approval for the application. And then we'll set that special meeting date at the May 2nd meeting.
I'll amend my motion to incorporate Kyle's language into it.
And Dell, you will again second?
I'll second.
Okay, we will call the roll again. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed?
Aye.
I'm sure I vote aye again, and motion is carried. Variance is granted. Any further business come before the board? Otherwise, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Motion by Cole, is there a second? Second by Dan. Okay, all those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. We are adjourned.